Just stand in the middle.
All right. You guys ready to worship this morning?
Yeah.
Awesome. This morning I was brought to this verse. It's super good because it's the Bible. And it's real simple. It's real powerful, real simple. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And it says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. That's the verse. Rejoice always. In the Passion, it says, let joy be your continual feast. That's really good. But in the NIV, rejoice always. And then the next verse is this. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I believe that this is a verse that the Lord has blessed us with, especially when we're looking for answers. We're looking for, sometimes we might be looking for that, Jesus, give me that easy button. And there's no easy button in life, right? But he gives us this, and this is kind of the easy button. Okay, you want an answer to your circumstance? You want an answer to your issue? You want an answer to your prayer? Here's the solution. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. So I believe this morning as we worship, we're going to lift up a praise. We're going to sing some songs. But I believe we need to do it with a rejoiceful heart. With a heart that is in a place where we are rejoicing in the Lord. No matter what is going on in our world, no matter what our life looks like, we're going to rejoice. Amen? So let's stand together as we get ready to worship. And let us just begin lifting our hearts to the Lord in a rejoiceful manner. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're good. We thank you, Lord, that we woke up this morning, Lord, breathing oxygen. We thank you, Lord, that this morning we woke up in a house. This morning we woke up in a bed, that we got to eat breakfast, that we got to drink coffee. Lord, that we get to come to your house today and we get to worship you. God, we're thankful this morning for what you're doing, Lord. Even when it feels like there's nothing happening, we thank you that you're always doing something, that you're always moving. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Just begin to lift up thankfulness right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your patience. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you.
about praying over our city and praying over those who live here. And one of the things that Yakima has is chains. It has chains of gang violence. It has chains of people having spoken roughly about Yakima. They want to tear it down. But we as a church will help bring hope to the people in Yakima. And it starts here with us when we receive God's hope for us now. When we let Him break our chains of hopelessness. When we let Him break our chains of things that we don't even realize are binding us. A doctor's diagnosis. Things that are spoken over us by people that we trust and love. Things that are spoken over us by people who don't like us much. Habits. They're chains. And if we don't let God break those for us, then we're going to stay stuck in them. And when we let Him break them for us, we can pray over our city and break the chains off our city and break the chains off the youth of our city and off the parents of those same youth of our city. So when you sing about breaking chains, know deeply that your chains are breakable.
I know I'm Christ, the solid rock I stand. chains break off. You're worthy of His love and His kindnesses and His goodness. Before service today, I prayed that this would be a house of wholeness, a house of completeness. Because until then, you know, how do we go out and preach the gospel? How do we, I mean, you can do it in your shame. But when you walk out of this building, shameful, feeling unworthy, it's time for joy. It's time for chains to break. It's time for liberty. It's time for freedom. It's time for healing. It's time for breakthrough.
Oh,
believe that the truth of the matter is that our God reigns over all of our lives, over every circumstance, over every situation. I believe there's people in here today that need a touch from the Lord, that need the Lord to touch a circumstance in their life, in their families, in their finances, in their marriage, in their parenting. In all of it. I know I need a touch from God, and I know I need to proclaim this on a daily basis that our God reigns. So church, let's just sing this a little bit longer. Let's proclaim this. I want you to envision your situation in front of you, and we're going to tell our situation that our God reigns. We're going to tell our situation that our God is bigger. We're going to tell our situation that our God has won, that the battle is done, that our God reigns, that He is victorious, that it is finished. Come on, sing this out. Hallelujah.
This morning, because the enemy has pretty much tried to wipe them out this week. And it says we're to gather around and love and encourage our brother and sister. So if you want to, please do, but we're going to pray for them. And if you want to stay in your seat, we want you just to push your hand out this way. Just press it out so that they feel the love of Jesus on them this morning.
Thank you.
started singing, before we started preaching, that heaven was already here. The heaven was invading this place. And we thank you, God, that we have access, Lord. We have access to you. And we continue calling heaven down. Heaven down over every home represented in this place. Heaven down in this building. Heaven down in our hearts. Heaven down in our bodies and in our situations and our circumstances and in our families. Yeah, heaven down in our families and our families and our families. In our extended families, in our children, in our fathers and our mothers, our grandparents. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna pray for our city right now. God, we thank you for Yakima. We thank you for the Yakima Valley. We thank you for the Lower Valley. We thank you for the Upper Valley. We thank you for the surrounding areas, God. We just pray right now, Lord, that heaven would invade our city. Heaven would invade every person that calls this place home. Heaven would invade, Lord, our politicians, our police departments, God. Heaven would invade our teachers, our school system, Lord, our businesses, God. Heaven would invade every single place, Lord, that the Yakima Valley touches. God, we thank you, Lord, that there is revival happening in Yakima, God. There is revival happening in our city. We just call it down right now. Call it down. Lord, we break off, Lord. We break off the spirit of depression over our teens right now. Lord, we break off sexual addictions in our teens right now. Lord, we break off right now just anything, Lord, that is not from you, God. We just ask that you would invade, Lord, the heart of your children in this city, God. God, we thank you, Lord, that you move, God, that you move. That you're continually moving right now on our behalf, God. Even when we don't see it, even when it looks the same, God, you're still moving. Till we just call it down. We call heaven down over our city, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have something special for our city and that this city will make an impact on the rest of the world. Lord, that people that come from this city, people that come from this place, Lord, will go into different parts of the world, different parts of our nation, Lord, and that they will bring revival wherever they go. And people will say, "Where is that? Where are they from?" And they'll say, "They're from Yakima, Washington." We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for our city. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Awesome. Thank you, team. Thank you, Lynette and Rob, for coming all the way. Such a blessing. Thank you, the rest of the team, our worship ladies. So we're going to transition now. Let's stay in a place of worship, though, because worship doesn't stop when the music stops. So we have a couple things going throughout the week, if you're unaware. So first and foremost, Monday nights, we host a youth group at the Lopez home. And this is open for any and all teenagers. They don't have to be a part of this church necessarily, but junior high to high school, from 6:30 to 8:30, we do youth at our house. And it's a great time, lots of fun. God is showing up big in our youth students. And so we're small in numbers, but we are mighty in spirit, and it's my favorite time of the week, honestly. And so, so if you know a teenager, if you have a teenager in your life that isn't a part of a youth group, they're more than welcome to come. Women's Zoom meeting, which is our women's group, Tuesday night, 7 to 8, you could text Gaylene. They have a powerful night via Zoom where they hear the word and pray for one another, and then as well as the men's Zoom meeting, Wednesday night, 7 to 8, and you could text that number as well for more information on that. And again, all these things are for anybody. So if you have somebody you know and they're not a part of a congregation, or maybe they are and they don't have anything going on, you can invite a lady to this ladies group, and you can invite a man to a men's group as well. And then August 14th, we're doing our last worship night of the summer. It's going to be at Herman and Miriam's house. There's the address. And we're excited. We've had two of these now, and these are really powerful nights where we just gather. And again, this is not just for this body. This is anybody. I'm inviting everybody. Anybody I know, I don't care if they go to another church or if they don't have a church or if they don't believe in church, I want them to come to this just because it's powerful. And so that is not this upcoming Saturday, but the Saturday following that, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, August 14th. Okay, so there's the address, and we'll announce it again next week, so you can get that address as well. And then last but not least, our tithes and offering. And so if you want to give, you can give online, or we have our offering box here, and there's one out there in the foyer, and so obviously no pressure. But yeah, if you want to give, you can do it that way, and it's really easy online, PayPal. And I think that's it, right? Awesome. Without further ado, Pastor Mike and Gaylene.
Hello. Good morning. Is everyone doing good? That was awesome worship. Thank you, team. Rob and Lynette, thank you for coming. And it's like old home week when you're here because it's the way we started when we began One Life, where it was Church on the Move at that time. Eric still gets it mixed up every now and then because he was so, but it's One Life now. And but it's awesome to see you ministering because you have such a gift. And if there's no place that's going to receive you right now, we receive you with full love. And we would love it if you came like on a regular basis. And we would treasure it, wouldn't we?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Maybe once a month. You guys talk about it, okay?
So just to catch up everybody that doesn't know, Lynette was our worship pastor for many years. And she married this handsome young man right here, Rob.
And he pulled her away.
And he stole her
from
us.
It's his fault.
It's all his fault. That she is not here now. Just if you want to go up and give, you just help yourself. I have felt like it a time or two.
No, her life has been restored.
Yeah.
And he is her restoration. And we love him. And we do wish they lived closer. But you guys talk about it because it would be our honor to have you. And yeah. What's, is somebody laughing?
Yeah, Nancy.
What's that?
She's just sending love.
Oh, sending love. Okay.
So I just have to say something that's been going through my mind all morning. And I'd like to take you on that journey. Hold on. Strap your seatbelts on. No, I'm kidding. But I just realized that the difference...
Do I need to turn this off? Or?
Well, no, just listen.
Okay.
That the difference between K-N-O-W, no, and K-N-O-W, no, is relationship.
Yeah. That's
it
true.
Struck me this morning. Think about that. I can know about Jesus, know about everything he's done, or I can know him.
Right. Heart
like
to heart.
There
life to
is
life.
A relationship. And something that my husband has said for years that kind of went with this, and I didn't really, I don't think I appreciated it as much as I do this morning. Is that any time I've ever had a hard time with someone where I just didn't get them, I didn't understand them, this is what he says. But what about their heart? If you know their heart, no matter what they do or how they act, you can move on if you know their heart. And so... And this might be, I believe it just might be for Cody and for Tisha, but Jesus does not want you to be harmed in the process of life. And because you know him here, you can trust him with your family, with your heart, with your future, with the purposes that he has. So if that doesn't minister to anybody else but me, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because all of a sudden it all just kind of like,
clicked.
I could visually, spiritually see the puzzle pieces just clicking together, making the picture of Jesus and what he did for me. So there, that's what I have to say.
Well, and the word know is a very powerful word because it literally means intercourse. It means interaction. Mm-hmm. It's what Mary said to the angel, I have not known a man, so how am I going to be pregnant? Same word was used. So it is a word that means to receive and to give.
Right.
It's an exchange.
Right.
So that's good. That's really good. You have the... Or are you going to read it from there? Can you read it okay? I can read with my new glasses now. It used to be a blur when I looked back there.
So we're going to talk about...
Do not grow weary.
Do not grow weary.
And this is because of a life experience that we experienced many times, but it kind of refreshed last weekend. When you're in someone's life and you're just being you, you know, you're just being Jesus to people. You're just, I don't know how to explain it other than that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory that's working. And sometimes it is kind of a drudgery. Sometimes it's like you're sloshing through the mud, you know, and your feet are really heavy and you just keep working. But then every now and then you realize, oh my goodness, boom, something takes place. And it's like a reward for that trudging. It's like a reward for that believing. It's like a reward for that staying and that faithfulness. And so that's what we want to talk about today, because it is the Christian experience, really. Because it's not an overnight experience. It's not a microwave experience. You know, it's not even, you know, like a 1 year experience. Well, for some, they may give it a try. But for us, it's an all eternity once we commit. And so, yeah, this life has a part, but then so does eternity. And I believe that that faith is going to be sight at some time, but we will still walk in faith. We're still going to believe in the one that gives us life, gives us our hope. And so let's go ahead and look at Galatians 6, 7 through 10.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Amen. So if we go back to this first verse 7, it's a verse that I communicate to people when they're experiencing things in their life or when they're doing things in their life. When I'm doing things in my life, I remind myself to don't be deceived. What I'm spending my time in, what I'm investing in, what I'm putting my faith in, my confidence in, there's a planting that's taking place. And God isn't mocked. It's a supernatural spiritual law that when you sow something, you reap something. Now, there is times by grace God doesn't allow us to reap all of the stuff that we deserve, because as before we were saved, we could have reaped a lot of stuff. And by his grace, I believe he has covered that in the blood of Jesus, and Jesus took our punishment. But after the fact, if we continue to sow in a certain way, you know, Paul said, you have the liberty to do anything you want. You know, you've got the power. You know, you've got the power. Yeah, anyway, you know, you've got the power to do anything you want. And you can make the choices to do anything you want. And anybody has this choice. I used to tell my kids this when they got a little bit older, but I think Eric and Nancy, they communicated this to the kids when they were real little. I didn't have the revelation to tell our kids that. I mean, my kids, you know, either behaved or got the wrath of Mike or mom, you know, but Eric and Nancy had a little different revelation, and they taught their kids that they could make choices early and that there would be consequences. That don't be deceived. If you do certain things, you will reap certain things.
Yeah.
So what he then goes on to say in verse 9 is, and let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not grow weary in planting the seeds of good. Let us not grow weary in continually living a life that is in good relationship with God. You know, some people get weary just living a life for Jesus because they have these expectations that life should be perfect. And I don't know where they got those expectations, because they're not in the Bible. They may be some person on TV, you know, telling them that, you know, once you give your heart to Jesus, everything's perfect. But, you know, the thing is that there's nothing perfect in this world except Jesus. And when we have him in our lives, there is a perfection to us. But it doesn't mean we're not going to miss the difficulties that life brings. And I'm thankful for those difficulties. You know why? Because they perfect in me my faith. If I had nothing to test my faith would be nothing.
Yeah.
I have to go through something to have my faith solidified. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy to have faith when there's no problems, folks. I mean, you can have faith all day long, you know. But when difficulties come, now your faith's being tested. Do you really believe what you've been saying now? Do you really believe where you think you've put your hope? Is your hope really in that truth? And can you stand on that truth? Is his promise going to be all you need? Or do you need something else in your life?
Well, and I think when it says growing weary, do not grow weary, that's on a very slow fade. Like, it happens over time. You just aren't weary.
Another word is faint-hearted. So in other words, your heart's becoming
more and
more weak. But it
says grow weary, and that means it's a process.
Right.
That means that's a chip away at the bad thought that comes in, or the you see somebody do something and you automatically think wrong of them, or it's a chipping away at us to cause us to grow weary.
Yeah.
And it's like for instance, like when I came in today, I didn't see Tegan last weekend. And all of a sudden, he seems very big to me.
Yes.
Like in 2
Where'd
weeks'
time.
Where did
you do it the other baby?
From that Sunday, skip one. And I'm like, that baby grew. Like, that baby grew. And that's how this growing weary is like, even though you can't see it day on day, like if mom and dad are looking at Tegan, it doesn't look like he's grown very much in 2 weeks because they see him every day. But for me, it like looked like an overnight boom. He was way bigger. But that's how our growing weary works. It's a chip away at that, causing us to grow weary. We don't just wake up all of a sudden and say, oh, I'm weary today. No, it's a chipping away at who we are in Jesus. And the enemy tries it. And a lot of times I fall for it.
We let him.
I do. I fall for it. Hook, line, and sinker. I do. I'm just so
naughty.
That's just that's the way it feels, because I fall for the trick of the enemy, and he's out to trick us every way he can, even in doing good, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Even in doing good for the Lord, the enemy, if he can, will trick us.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and look at this verse in a couple other translations. Well, first we'll look at it here. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The Passion Translation says... You not have the Passion Translation? Oh, there it goes. Sorry, she went by it.
Quit touching Mr. He messes me up.
It's right up there. Want me to read it? And don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds for the reason of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. So what? Don't
allow
grow
yourself
faint.
To
yeah,
be.
Don't allow yourself. Just, see, that's the key. Are we going to open up our heart and let, like you said, the enemy speak lies to us and tell us, yeah, this isn't working. You might as well just give up because... You're not gonna, this is, look how long you've been doing this. Look how long you've been putting all this effort in. Can't remember who I heard it from. Maybe it was Eric last week. I don't know. But I've heard this recently that was you talking about the San Francisco? Yeah, but I'm going to say it again because it's perfect right now. That basically there was an individual, if you heard this last week, forgive me. There's an individual who was in San Francisco in the gold rush days, digging and digging and digging and digging for his claim. And he kept digging. He kept just working it. He kept working it. And he, you know, get little, nothing though. Nothing to pay off all that hard labor. And so what? He grew weary, didn't he? He grew weary in working his claim. And you know what he did? At the end of his frustration, he said, I'm going to sell my claim. And he sold his claim. And what'd you say? A couple feet more. And it was the mother lode. So that's a really good illustration of not growing weary in well-doing. We need to realize that even though we're digging in dirt sometimes, this is the way it feels, is our Christian walk. God's allowing us to finally reach the treasure. And our true treasure, folks, is really to be with Jesus in the fullness of our new life in
Instead
him.
Instead of no here, it's no here.
Yeah.
That's the treasure.
Well, that's the earthly treasure we have now. The final treasure is to be with him.
But knowing him.
Knowing him is the ultimate treasure.
Yes.
Exactly. Go ahead and read the message. It's good, too.
So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit.
Right there. Fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
How many, like, in this heat start getting fatigued? Oh, man. Especially when Eric was working for FedEx. He would get me on the phone. His face said everything. He would do Marco Polo. And I just go, oh, Lord Jesus, touch him. He's like, Pastor, I'm dying here. I'm just like, Lord, deliver him.
And he did.
And he did, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah, you need to come up if you're going to talk. Yeah. If you're going to talk, you got to come up.
You may as well start walking this way, Vicki.
Well, Phyllis isn't going to be able to hear you, and I may not even hear you.
I just feel like I talk too much some days. So I'm sitting here thinking, and we're talking about not growing weary, but we need to remember he's telling us to not grow weary. So what does that tell us to do? It tells us to rest in him.
There you go.
It tells us to take his rest. Does it mean we have to fight 24/7, 7 days a week? 12 months out of the year. No, it means there are times when we rest and he will do it.
Amen.
Because the battle is his. He wants us to participate in that, but he also expects us to rest and to rest in him.
That's good. Thank you. See, people need to hear that. All right. Let's go ahead and look at another verse here. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:11 through 13.
For we hear that some among you walk in idleness. Not busy at work, but busy bodies. Ouch.
Yeah.
Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good.
I wanted to put those others in there because they're really it puts it in context. But the idea here is that we're to work. And sometimes our work is physical work. Sometimes it's spiritual work. Sometimes our work is loving people. Sometimes our work is feeding people. Sometimes our work is listening to others as they cry. You know, it's life. And making ourselves available is part of that good work. It's part of that, those, you know, it says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. We're created for good works. Now, Nettie said we're created to worship, but another thing we're created for is good works. Mm-hmm. And our works don't get us brownie points with God. Our works signify and establish our faith. Because we're saying, Jesus, I'm yours, and I'm going to walk out your plan for my life, not my own plan, not my own will. Hebrews 12, 2 through 3.
Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, which was us.
It was us.
Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted.
Now, isn't this interesting if you read this? So looking to Jesus, that means, you know, how many of you physically see Jesus today? Some, oh, you did? Awesome. Someone did physically see Jesus today. But most of us see Jesus by faith. We trust that he is never leaving us or forsaking us. We sometimes see Jesus in our brothers and sisters. But we look to Jesus. Sometimes we just look in our heart, closing our eyes and just saying, Lord, I don't focus on my problems. I don't focus on what I've been dealing with this past week or month or year or 20 years. I focus now on you. Lord, I focus on your love. Lord, thank you for your love. That's setting your gaze on Jesus. You're turning your attention from the problems. Like it says, the author and the perfecter, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, he didn't look at the cross and say, oh my gosh, I have to go through this cross and let it just crush him. He looked beyond the cross to us. He said, oh, I'm going to get him back. I'm going to get him back. And Father, you're going to allow me to go through this. You're going to give me the strength I need to go through this so that we can get them back. We can get them back. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit redeeming the lost children of God. Consider him. So that means to, like you'd be calculating or using math, say 5 plus 5 is 10, 10 plus 10 is 20, 20 plus 20 is 40. That's considering. You're calculating, you're adding, or it's taking an inventory. It's like going into your cupboard and saying, wow, do I have enough food to make this meal I want to make? Nope, I need to run to the store. That's considering. You're evaluating. Mm-hmm. Consider Jesus. Evaluate what he did for you. Because guess what? When we do this, it says, who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you what may grow, not grow weary or faint hearted. So what is he saying? If we consider Jesus, set our gaze on Jesus, rest in Jesus, as she said, that's resting in him. Yeah. That's saying, I'm not letting these circumstances overwhelm me. I'm not letting what's happening in my family overwhelm me. I'm not letting what's happening in my job. I'm not what's happening with the vaccine mandates overwhelm me. You name it, food shortages and overwhelm me, financial problems overwhelm. I'm going to rest in Christ. I'm going to set my gaze on God, because he's the one who is the supplier of all my needs. He said he would be, right? Mm-hmm. Says the world, he said the Gentiles search diligently for all of these things. He was talking about food, clothing, a place to stay, everything we pretty much need. They do that all the time. You don't need to do that. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So do we believe that he's got us? That if we start the day, like Eric and Nancy did one time at their house, with no food, and they're saying, Lord, you know our need. And by the end of the day, they had food from an unknown source coming. Yeah, they knew the individual, but they didn't know they were bringing it. That person was moved by God. When we became senior pastors and I gave my job the notice, and we were like, my son says, Dad, how are we going to have money? And I said, son, if it's his will, it's his bill. And it always has been up to the, we've never been begging or seen, forsaken or seen begging for bread, have we? No. He's taking care of us with odd jobs, with, there's times that I'm going and I'm looking at, I have no business that's come in, and I have all of my checks in, and we're at a month that's coming up, and I know we've got some things to do, Lord. So, can you break some computers? I don't pray that, but all of a sudden, no, I'm kidding. All of a sudden, though, computer calls start coming in. But guess what? Some people say, I've been meaning to call you. That's what they said. I've been meaning to call you. I said, well, you're calling me now, and it's usually just what we need to get through the month. I mean, that's faithfulness, mm-hmm. and that's how we can trust him. But you have to walk through difficult times. Yeah. If you've always got like a way out, you never give God enough time. Oh, I'm gonna go get another credit card. That's gonna cover me. And you just keep doing. You're not giving God a chance to do a miracle. Yeah.
A lot of times we think obstacles come our way to try and drown us out. to try and get us to go down with the ship or whatever. But really, obstacles come to teach us how to swim.
There you go.
It's really how you look at it.
Right.
If you think those obstacles, the no food in the cupboard or, you know, no work coming in, is an obstacle before you to get over, you'll just be like, can't do it. Guess we'll starve. I mean, you know, you go in that path. But if you look at it as a stepping stone instead of a, what do I call it? It's a stepping stone, not a...
Stumbling block?
Stumbling block. Yeah. It's really how you look at it.
One more verse.
Hebrews 10:35-36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised.
Do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away your faith. Don't set it aside. Continue to hold fast. Don't give up on that mine that you're digging. Because if God's called you to that mine, if he's the one who's put it on your heart, you keep digging. If he's the one, I use this expression, I think, with Vicki the other day. God graces us with relationships. Do you guys realize that? When you have an opportunity to have somebody be in your life, whether you're friends right away or you know, you hit it off, if they're in your life, you've been graced. And why have you been graced? You've been graced because God wants to work something in you.
Right.
Not just in them.
Right.
Like Paul said to all the, I think it was the Thessalonians church, you are my glory. You're my crown. Why? Because he had a relationship with them. Getting back to that word relationship. So don't throw away your confidence. Don't cast it aside. Don't say, you know what, this hasn't worked, I'm going to give up. And maybe someone's listening to this and they've wanted to give up on Jesus. They've wanted to give up on their Christianity because they just feel like it's no use. I'm telling you, don't throw away your confidence because it has a great reward. You will reap if you don't lose heart. You will reap if you don't quit. For you have need of endurance. That is the key right there, endurance. And some of us are short on endurance. Some of us have basically, you know, been in a way coddled by certain things that we don't know how to stand, having done all to stand. And we get weak because we haven't had to stand in our own faith. I remember when Paris and Lois came. They came from Africa. I think it was it Kenya?
Kenya.
And they came to the United States. As missionaries. Did you ever meet Paris and Lois? Oh, they're amazing. Well, anyway, Paris told us this. She was more the evangelist than the outspoken one, the big speaker. Remember her? Yeah.
She would say Gayreen.
Gayreen, yeah. Gayreen. But she said, oh, I feel sorry for you. She felt so bad for us. She said, your faith has become so weak here. Because you don't have to believe for hardly anything. When we're sick there, yeah, sometimes we go to the hospital, but they don't know anything to do with us. We just lie in bed and we're believing God to heal us. You have a little headache, you grab an aspirin immediately. I mean, she is like, oh man, it's like convicted. But she was telling us that we haven't had any reason to really stand on our faith. So that's why we have need for endurance. We have got it. Listen, if real bad times come, like we think real bad times were last year, what if just perchance, like it really is true in the Bible, in the last days perilous times will come. People will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, you know, haters of God, haters of parents. What if those days are coming and we haven't seen anything yet?
Right.
We're going to have need for endurance. We're going to have need to be able to stand on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. I know it says, but it's true. We're standing. We're holding fast. We're anchored to that. The living hope, as we sing.
Yeah, we don't recognize that harvest is heavy. Like, they have to build machines so that the harvest could go through the machines, because people did it by hand back then, back in the day. Harvest is a heavy, heavy thing. And we have to have endurance in order to make it through it. And so I have something, a story I want to tell you. I just found out about this yesterday. It's a very dear friend of mine, an old friend of mine that I used to work with. And he is a very strong individual. He bikes 12 miles a day. He runs and swims and bikes triathlons. I mean, he is just a very muscular person. Very healthy, very healthy. He was going between two daughters' homes in Yakima when he was hit on his bike from behind by a drunk driver, and he was broken. Those muscles that he built up, that he had endurance to, you know, be able to go long hauls, that didn't do anything for him except to protect him, because he did not die, and they said he should have. He was wearing a helmet that flew off, but it was a terrible accident, and he's still recovering today. This happened in May. What I noticed upon reading, and I found out about this yesterday, in reading the blogs that they had done up, I read some of them to my family last night, but I finished them late last night. And what I noticed is that he's a divorced man. He and his daughters went from very fleshly talking to inserting God in a lot of the blurbs, a lot of the conversation in the posts, and how God was being faithful, and how God was protecting, and how God was providing. And I'd been praying for my friend for a long time to where he would get to that point where he would call on Jesus. And I didn't know anything about it. But he has endured a lot, but he's looking to the right source.
Yeah, amen.
Are you looking to the right source? Are you looking in a mirror at yourself saying, oh, Lord, break computers or whatever, you know, it is? Or are you looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith?
Amen.
He's written your story.
Yeah.
He is finishing your story as you're here on earth. Are you going to let it play out the way he has authored it? Are you going to trade off and go your own path? Is there grace in both? Sure there is. He's a good, good God. He's a great Father. He loves us unconditionally. But it's like that time that you woke up and you looked in the mirror, 5:30 in the morning, and God shows you two roads. You can go this road. It's the path that, you know, it's not ministry. It's getting that six figures and nice house and have cars paid off that we were living in. Or do you give all of that up and you go this path where you quit that six-figure job and you give up on the houses and the cars, but your life is so rich because the harvest that you're harvesting, even though it's heavy, God has made you to be able to endure. Are you able to endure?
Amen. That's good.
Thank you.
incredible source, God, that when we put our faith in you, God, when we say yes to you, Lord, even when we don't say yes to you, you say yes to us. God, I thank you that you're faithful. And God, I just pray for every person here, every person that can hear my voice in the room that's on Zoom, that maybe is watching this later or listening to this later, God, Lord, that their faith, Lord, would be solely in you, God. And God, we just stand in the gap, Lord, for those who feel like they're just barely hanging on, that they have nothing else to give, they have nothing else to lean on, they don't know what the next step is. We stand in the gap right now, Lord, for those people. We just thank you so much, Jesus, that you love us, that you're here, Lord, that you never forsake us, God, that you're always faithful, you're always steadfast, Lord, and that you are our source, and we just believe you for that. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Love you guys. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Lynette.